Blog Talk Radio.
Something else about me is that I'm an educator. My career background is education. I started out teaching in Michigan for 7 years. I resigned in 2007 just to take a break from the profession. I got in a little burnout with teaching and all the politics and knew that God was calling me to a higher place or something different. I just didn't know what it was. So I resigned in 2007 and took a little bit of time off. I decided to go back to school in 2012. Because I knew that I wanted to be a school leader. So I enrolled in a master's program for educational leadership at a school in Michigan. I graduated actually this May, a few months ago, 2014, with my Master of Arts degree in educational leadership. So I'm now certified as a K-12 principal. Looking for a permanent position right now, but I am certified and excited about my career path and where it's going to take me. I am also a new author of a book called Broken for the Promise. It came out in July this year, July 1st. It was released. It is on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It is a personal testimonial of a difficult journey that I had almost 4 years ago, and I guess I'll share a little bit about that later on.
Okay, well, that's so, you know, you've done so many things. And now, you were, you are still a principal right now?
I am certified. I don't currently have a position right now.
Okay.
I'm looking for a job, but I'm certified. I have my certification.
Oh, okay. Well, that's wonderful. Well, now maybe you can tell me, I know you're an author. What was the first book that you ever wrote?
The first book that I wrote is the first book that just came out in July, Broken for the Promise. So I'm an author of that book, just that book.
Well, you know, I went on Amazon and I looked up your book and I started reading it and it just held my attention. So I've got to go back and try to pick that up sometime soon. But your story was just really fascinating. Could you tell us something about that book?
That book was a testimonial of a difficult journey that I had 4 years ago. It started out with me talking about faith in God because my faith during the overall sharing that story was tested on every level. I became pregnant in 2010, early 2010, and miscarried and got pregnant again shortly after that. And went through a terrible time in that pregnancy with my now four-year-olds. I had a condition called gastroparesis in pregnancy. It is a digestive disorder. And basically very soon into my pregnancy, I was dying of dehydration and malnutrition.
Oh my.
And so that about that difficult journey of carrying a baby inside of me, and dying at the same time. But also not just that, I was faced with many other hardships. My husband and I became homeless because of our medical expenses, and so I talk about that. And I also talk about a year after I had Joshua and we had, you know, safely delivered him, my husband unexpectedly was laid off his job of 6 years, and we became homeless again, and many other circumstances that we faced that completely devastated us. But we have recovered, and I'm here to share that story of hope and healing to the world.
Well, praise the Lord. I think that's just really, truly a wonderful testimony because, you know, sometimes people think that homelessness, you know, people on the street, they don't realize that a lot of them are there because of circumstances that happened to them. They, you know, they just weren't always there. On the streets, I know I do street witnessing and stuff like that because I'm a pastor. And a lot of times you find people that have PhDs, that have doctor's degrees, that just things in life have happened to them that have, you know, led to them to be out homeless.
Right, right. Yeah, it happens to, you know, like you said, it's not just underprivileged, the impoverished. It's also people that, you know, have had it all and lost it all.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it doesn't have a, you know, a socioeconomic, you know, group when it strikes. It just happens sometimes.
Yes. Well, I think that's just really marvelous, you know, for people to, you know, it's encouraging. Your book is encouraging because, like I said, I went through and, you know, and I was just flipping through because it has a look inside feature. So I was just reading and I was reading and I said, boy, I said, this lady really has a testimony to tell. And it's a good testimony, you know, for like homeless shelters. That would be a good book to have in homeless shelters. I don't know how you'd go about doing that. But I think that would be really a marvelous thing for them to read about someone who has been where they are and that understands and can show them that, you know, God can work miracles, that things can change. You know, you can be down 1 minute, but like the Bible says, if God is for you, who can be against you? God will raise you back up. And I just wanted
right.
to say that. I think your book is really the title. And I love the title. How did you come up with the title?
It was all God, because when I started writing that book, I honestly did not want to write it. It was God. God just kept pressing on me. He kept, like, you know, I was revisiting memories of, you know, that horrible time in my life, and I felt like God was wanting to have me revisit that place because he wanted to heal me, because a lot of times we minister, but we minister out of we're bleeding. And so I believe that God wanted me to minister out of a place of healing and not out of place of being broken about it. He wanted me to have peace about what happened to me so that I could effectively minister to someone else, because I couldn't minister and share those things if I'm, oh, my God, you know,
yes,
like that.
Yes.
I had to come to terms with this was a path that I was meant to take for this purpose. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how the book came, the title came.
Well, I love the title, Broken for the Promise, because God gives us so many promises in, you know, in his word, and you can always understand, too, that those promises come with conditions, and a lot of times we have to be broken in order to receive the promise. And so I just think it's a fantastic title. Now, this is just your first book. Do you have any ideas about a second book or a sequel to this or anything in the working right
now? I've been asked about a sequel to that book, and I haven't honestly thought about a sequel, but
mm-hmm.
I am kind of starting to write. I work on another book, but this book is like geared toward education, geared toward my career background, because
mm-hmm.
as an educator, I see a major issue with classroom instruction at minority students. I think a
mm-hmm.
lot of times our minority students, they lose something. They don't make a connection in the classroom. And so
yes.
I want to write a book called Effective Classroom Instruction for minority students, because I feel like, you know, that's a major issue why we have so many kids who are dropping out and all the things that are going on
yeah.
with education that needs to improve.
Yeah.
And so I kind of, as a training ground, to actually go in and train teachers how
mm-hmm.
to effectively administer instruction for all students.
Yes, yeah. Well, you know, I think that would be very good, too, because, you know, different races of people, they come up with different heritage backgrounds, you know, and what is, let me see how to say that. Some things in our culture that we think are so normal in our culture, they don't understand. And so you need
right.
to be diverse in, okay, you know, say Spanish, you know, Spanish has, you know, the things that they, you know, are really into, and the blacks have things that they're really into, and the whites have things that they're really into, you know, and we try to bring it all together in education, but it's hard sometimes because different cultures have different ideas. And different cultures also have different meanings to different things. A lot of things that we say to them mean something totally different. And so,
I've seen this in classroom where minority students tend to be a little bit more vocal and outspoken about their feelings, and that gets regarded as being disrespectful.
Yeah.
And so that can, you know, a teacher, you know, of a different race may not understand that, and so they will put a student out or send a student to a dean's office because the student is trying to express himself, but not in a way that we always think they should express themselves.
Or that they're used to. Yes, if you're from a different culture, you may not always understand. Sometimes, you know, it's very hard to, you know, because I know I have a lot of Spanish friends, and a lot of times I'll say things and it has a totally different meaning than, you know, in their mind. And then I'll say, oh, no, I meant this. And I say, oh, is that what that word means? And, you know, so it's good, you know, teachers should, I think that would be a very good thing to write about, to, you know, teachers taking classes to learn how to deal with minorities and at certain things, you know, that they would see would be unnatural from the background that they're from is natural in that minority group. And so I think that's that would be a very good, I'm going to pray that you get that done because I think that would be very, very good. Now, do you think that as a Christian author that it's more difficult to write and get accepted in the secular world?
I think so, because the Bible talks about in Ephesians 6 how we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. So, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, a story like mine, even with a Christian, you know, I talk about faith, I talk about the Holy Spirit, I talk about worship, you know, is not accepted in the world where, you know, maybe in dealing with, you know, what I experienced, you know, somebody may have, you know, looked at drugs or, you know, or maybe in their marital relationship they would have broken up or maybe had an affair. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, as a Christian, we're always warring against those mindsets and those decisions that, you know, the opposing spirit is going to have against us. Because I have presented my book to other, you know, radio show hosts, and they were completely turned off by it. So, you know, it's always that warfare that you experience, I believe, as a Christian author.
I think that's true, too, because, you know, I'm a Christian romance writer, and I find that problem with writing. See, my books are totally pure, clean, uncomplicated, you know, nothing. It's just a kid from 6, 8 years old all the way up to adulthood could read my book, and they would never find anything dirty. They might make you laugh and cry, but never make you blush. And I've found that a lot of publishers don't want that. They want the mainstream. They want to put the, you know, they want the sex scenes. They want the lust because they said this is what sells. But see, that's not what God told me. So I understand exactly where you're coming from. You know, you have to stay true to what God has told you to do. And if God is behind you, you'll make it.
Right.
That's, you know, that's very, very important. So I agree with you on that. It's very, I think, in a secular world, as a Christian author or as a Christian poet, it's hard to get recognized because the world
because
is geared the other way.
They want that picture. They want that. They want the you to be vulgar and sexual.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
And you know, even now, you know, my husband and I, we drive down the street. We're like, you know, decades ago, you would never see a billboard with a half-dressed woman on it selling jewelry. But
now
it's like, you just have to, you know, cover your eyes just driving down the street to the store because it's sex is everywhere, you know.
Yeah, and according to the world, that's the norm. That's okay.
Right.
And then if you don't go along with it, they think, what's the matter with you? What's wrong with you? You know, there's nothing wrong with this. You know, it happens every day. You know, we see it on TV. Well, just because it happens every day and we see it doesn't make it right. You know, so I agree with you. You know, times have changed. You know, TV programs have changed. And I can honestly tell you, I went into the library, so I know, and I picked up a book, and Chastity, I'm serious. I couldn't get past the first page. And this is supposed to be a great romance writer. I won't say who it is. And it's supposed to be a great book. And I couldn't get past the first page. And I put it down, and the girl was sitting next to me because, you know, I was waiting for my husband. He was looking for records. And she said, you put it back too high. And I said, I couldn't get past the first page. She said, well, I made it to two. She said, but then I just had to put it down. She said, it was just too much sex, too much violence. She said, and it wasn't even in the third page. And well, I got to the first page, and I'm thinking, okay. Now, and they had it in the section where it said, you know, bestsellers, telling the people to read these books. And I thought, see, that's what the world wants, but that's not what God wants. And our children, you know, and our adults that are working with our children, we need to be bringing forth things that are going to build our children up, you know, books that you can lay around and children can read them or teachers can read them, and it's going to give a benefit. It's going to teach them something, show them something. And so I agree with you that very, very much. We need more books that are going to be talking, you know, to our children. But in the secular world, it's very hard to find, you know, publishers. Did you have any trouble finding a publisher for your book?
No, I didn't, because I actually met my publisher through a friend of mine who had published her book. So it was more so a connection that I had. And, you know, I'm glad that it was that easy. But I'm not saying that in general it would be that easy, because, like I said, it goes back to compromise. You know, finding one that is willing to, you know, not only appreciate your work, but share your vision and share the fact that you want to be clean and have a message that you want to share that doesn't include all the stuff that's out there.
That's right. And then sometimes you get with publishers and, you know, or editors that want to rewrite.
Right.
And then you lose your voice of what God is trying to say through you. And so that's another, we talk about compromise. A lot of times that falls under compromise. They'll say, well, if you can delete this and put this in, it'll work better. You know, they're always trying to bring you into the way of the world's thinking. And so I agree with that. That compromise, yeah. You don't want to do that. Okay, now, well, you've already told us what inspired you, so I don't have to ask that. And what audience are you mainly writing for? Now, in your book, Broken for the Promise, which I think is a really great book, is that more for young adults, adults, or, you know, what specific audience were you writing to?
I'm definitely writing to, I would say, young adults, because, you know, dealing with, you know, hardship, and I'm very detailed in my book about exactly what happened to me and basically the journey. So I think, you know, anybody under 18 probably wouldn't be ready to, you know, read, you know, the details that I shared. So I would definitely say young adults to even, you know, 35 and on up, 18 and on up pretty much. Okay. And also specifically, I would say, like you said, homeless people, you know, women who have had difficult pregnancies, as well as people who are facing hardship and just need, you know, to read a story of hope and healing. And
yes,
I need to feel that get through their issues.
Yeah. Well, that title is going to catch him right off the bat, because that's what caught me. You know, it stayed in my mind. I told my husband, I said, this lady has written a book. I said, the title is so captivating, Broken for the Promise. And I said, that just spoke to me right there. That just really spoke to me. A lot of people, even before they know what the book is about, if you passed it on the shelf and you saw Broken for the Promise, you want to know, okay, what's broken? And what promise? At least that's the way I am. You know, I would think, okay, what's broken and what's the promise? Well, then I'd have to pick it up and start reading it to say, okay, then this sounds good. Then there's something I want to read. Because I'm a person, titles grab me. I mean, that's just always, I've always been like that. Titles grab me. And then, that's the first thing, and a publisher will tell you that is the first thing that usually grabs a reader is a title. And once you get them to pick up the book just from the title, most likely they'll open it and they'll start reading. And that's what you want. Right. So you have an excellent title there. Excellent. I think that's just wonderful.
And also the cover itself, the graphic that was used on the cover, I've had people tell me that they were drawn to that too. So
Yes, I like that too.
My publisher did a great job with the cover design. Yep.
Well, yes, they really did, because, you know, everything was just, I just thought it was really, you know, really, really nice, captivating. It looks like a really, really good book, so I'm going to have to get that. Now, is there a message that you, I think you told something about your message. You said it's for, you know, for people that have been broken, that have gone through, like one section in your book you talked about where when you were pregnant and you had to stay in the hospital for something like, how many days or months?
Yeah, it was pretty much, I was hospitalized throughout the entire pregnancy at different, you know.
That's what I thought you said.
Right.
You know,
so,
a lot of people can understand that.
9 months. Yes.
Yeah, and that's a long time. And then you lost that child.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, cause, you know, I wanted to make sure that I was getting all the information when I was reading it, but that's what I thought. You know, so I think that book will also speak to women who have gone through miscarriages, like you said, you know, that have suffered, you know, to have that gift of life, you know, inside them, and then to lose it. They can read something like that and understand, you know, because they understand what you've gone through, and you kind of like build a little bond there. And sometimes people need that. Some people won't go to a psychiatrist or they won't go to a counselor, but sometimes, see, God can speak through your writing, and that can even touch and heal a certain part of their life that has been so hurt. And so, you know, books like that are good too. So I think that's something really good that you have. Now, do you have a website where people can go to and, you know, look up your books? Or, well, you said Amazon, so we know your book is on Amazon, right?
Yes, it's on Amazon as well as Barnes & Noble.
Barnes & Noble too, okay. But do you have a website, like a personal website or anything?
Yes, I do. It's www.chastitystrotter.com. That's C-H-A-S-I-T-Y-S-T-R-A-W-D as in dog, E-R.com. That's
okay,
my website, and you'll see a little book trailer on there when it comes up, and you'll see a little bit about me, a little clip from my book, and then there's like a, on the third page, you can, you know, you can send me a message, or if you want further information about my book.
Okay, and you're also on LinkedIn, because that's where we met. You're on LinkedIn, a business, social site too.
Right, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Facebook, I have an author page on Facebook, as well as I'm on Twitter.
I'm on Facebook too then, so we can communicate.
Yes,
I'm on Facebook also. I'm going to have to look up your name then. Yeah, well, that is really
my
good
name,
to know.
Yeah, just
pardon
type in
me?
My name and on my page. You just type in my name and my author page will come up. It's just Chastity Strotter.
Okay, and you can type in mine too. It's Pastor Janet Fears. I think it just comes up Janet Fears. But we'll have to communicate on there. Okay, and so we know that we can buy your books on Amazon and Barnes & Nobles, and that you have a Facebook page. Do you have anything on Twitter?
Yes, I'm on Twitter, and my name on Twitter is at Broken4Promise, BROKENPROMIS. So at Broken4Promise without the E at the end. That's my Twitter, and my Twitter following is really picking up, so a good place to connect with me there. I share a lot of, you know, about my shows that I'm doing, if I'm on radio shows, and also, you know, inspirational stuff.
Okay. Have you ever gone into, this is just kind of off the top of my head, have you ever done any book signings in bookstores, or have you ever gone to, different places, and talked inspirational talking about your book or anything like that?
Right. So far, I've done a number of Blog Talk radio shows, and my platform is actually picking up, and next year I've been asked to do a couple of women conferences. And I do have a book signing coming up in the spring. Yeah, so things are kind of picking up with my book.
Oh, well, praise God. Well, I think they're really going to pick up for you, Chastity, because I think what you're, telling in your book, you're sharing a part of your life that, that can touch other people's lives that have gone through the same thing that you have gone through. And then you said that you have two boys, two younger sons?
Yes, Joshua's 4, and then Donovan, he's my oldest, he's 10.
Okay, well, now I know that you're getting ready for Christmas, right?
Yes,
with two youngsters in the house.
Right.
Well, they must be very, I'm sure they're very proud of you, and I'm sure your husband is too, because you have gone through a lot. And let me tell you, people don't realize that it takes a lot to bear your heart and soul in a book. It takes an awful lot to sit down and share a part of you that has just been totally yourself, that you've never talked to anybody about, and put it there and giving it out for the Lord to help somebody else who's gone through that. I think that takes a lot of nerve, and I just want to say I think you're, wonderful doing that. You know, not everybody can do it. Some people can't. You know, they want to keep private. But what you're doing, I think, is going to help some people down the road. And I think you talk very well. I can see you talking at conferences and things like that. Because you're very personable. I can tell by your character that that you love the Lord. And I think God is going to use all that to bring good things into your life. I see a bright future ahead for you, Chastity. And I'm so glad that we were able to have you here today.
Thank you. I appreciate the encouragement because, like you said, it took a lot of courage for me to write that book. I bared my soul, and, I've had, negative and positive feedback. I've had people like, what in the world? Why would you say all that? Because God gave me the vision. He put it in me to share that show. Because somebody needs to hear every single detail. It is for somebody
that's
else.
Right.
And that's what gave me the courage to do it, because it was not even about me. It was about somebody else reading that story and, you know, finding hope, finding God, finding purpose, you know, finding, you know, another knot to hang on to and not give up. Mm-hmm. That's exactly why I did it.
Well, I'm so glad that you did, and I'm so glad that we were able to have you on here today. Like I said, I see a bright future for you because, and I think this is just the start of your writing career. I see other books in the future for you. I really do, because it's Broken for the Promise. Like I said, I am going to go back because I like to read, but, you know, I'm writing myself, you know, all the time. And I just, you know, got my third novel out there, you know, that's out too, you know, on Amazon, just like yours, and Barnes and Nobles too. But I like to sit down and read other people's work too, because it's inspiring to me, especially when they're Christian writers. And I see, you know, and I look and I say, Lord, I said, you have so many beautiful people out there with so many stories to tell that somebody needs to hear. And so your story definitely is a story that is going to touch hearts, and it's also going to unlock doors for you and unlock hearts of people that have been hurt and that see that there is hope, that there is light at the end of the tunnel, that there's a, you know, writing is a journey. It's not a destination, and you're on a journey, and your journey has just begun. I feel that. And so I'm so glad that you were able to come, and if there's anything else that you'd like to say to encourage anybody else who is writing or has a story to tell, I feel free to speak to them right now.
The final thing I would want to share is the overall message and why I wrote the book and why it was published and why I continue to be inspired by people who share, you know, like you, that gave me feedback about it, is because I want people to understand that there's purpose in pain. And a lot of times when you're going through a hard time, a hard place, a difficult situation, you don't always see, you know, the beauty that can come out of a hard place. But looking back at 4 years ago, I see the beauty of why God took me through that tough, tough time in my life. Not only, you know, he wasn't trying to kill me or destroy me. He was working on a masterpiece. He was putting something wonderful together that would, you know, that would carry me through the rest of my life. And, you know, I want someone to be able to look at me and read my story and say, you know what, because of reading Broken for the Promise, that I didn't give up, I didn't throw in the towel, I didn't hurt myself, that my hope is there. Lord. And so that's what keeps me going and keeps me pushing this book ahead.
Well, thank you, Cassidy. I think you're doing a great job, and I'm going to, unfortunately, I hate to say we have to go, but I've enjoyed talking with you, and I hope that maybe later on we'll be able to have you on again and just hear the blessings that God is doing in your life, okay? So thank you very much for being my guest this evening.
And thank you for having me. And, of course, we'll connect on social media. Thank you very
much. I'm sure we will. God bless you, and have a good evening, and have a very Merry Christmas.
All right, same to you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I hope you all enjoyed listening to Principal Cassidy Strutter. Her book is out. It's called Broken for the Promise, and it is an awesome book. I read just a few pages, and I'm going to have to go back and read, you know, get it and read some more. But it's a book that she shared her life, what's happened to her and everything. So take a chance and pick it up. It's at Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble. Cassidy Strutter, Strawder. And I'm going to have to close now. God bless you, and we'll be talking again, and I'll have something else interesting for you to know about. Until then, always remember, whatever you do, do to the glory of God. Bye-bye now.